SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Lisi and Wetzel taking you around the NFL for the next hour. The calm before the storm. The NFL draft does take place next month, April 24th and 25th. Scotty, some news over the weekend. Huge signings, right? We saw Cincinnati signed Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins per reports, a dynamic deal making Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid offensive non-quarterback in the NFL. And then just about 5 hours ago, we saw the Houston Texans sign former LSU standout Derek Stingley Jr. to a 3-year, $90 million deal over the next 3 seasons for the Houston Texans. Payrolls and salaries are going through the roof, Scotty, in the NFL.
It's crazy, Joe. It's no longer just the quarterback, right? I mean, it really is. I will say, though, kudos to the Bengals for one aspect, and then, of course, they're doped on the other. Kudos because they got it done. Ultimately, they got it done, and I really didn't think they would get both those guys. I really didn't. I thought they'd lose both, to tell you the truth. If I was, there was a bet in Vegas on FanDuel, you know, how many returned, I would have put zero, right? So, ultimately, they got it done, and I'm not big on giving guys a contract extension when you don't have to. But you know, the salaries are only going up. So if you have two proven players, especially Ja'Marr Chase, you knew that last year, Joe. You knew that even 2 years ago. I mean, they cost themselves how many millions of dollars? Because there's no doubt he would have signed for less if they would have done that last year or even 2 years ago. So, but ultimately, for the Bungles, as we like to call them, they got it done, and now they're a viable force in the AFC.
Yeah, I agree. Now, a lot of pressure now on Zach Taylor. There's no excuses anymore, right? You have two of the highest paid wide receivers. You have the one of the highest paid quarterbacks. You can't afford another 0-2 start to just limp to the playoffs or potentially a 9-8 record and not challenge for an AFC championship. So we'll see how it plays out. They also have an above average running back, a young running back coming off a minor injury at the end of the year in terms of Chase Brown. The defense is the main concern. What do they do? Hendrickson wants out of that lineup. But again, I think they made the right move, Scott, because I've said this time and time again. It's not like the defense, and I understand Hendrickson put up dynamic numbers, but it's not like that defense, you know, took over games, was an above average unit, and you said you needed Hendrickson in that lineup. I understand he led the league in sacks 17 and a half, but you could only go up. They were one of the worst defensive units in the league. If you could make up that talent with, say, you know, better than average players, meaning cheaper players, isn't that the route to go as long as the offense solidified and you know that Burrow has all the answers and has his guys at the wideout position?
Yeah, I mean, I like to be the fly on the wall when he found out that Chase was getting $40 million and the other guy was getting $115 million, right? I mean, does that leave the cupboard dry? Is he going to be gone now? Did they make the choice? See, I would have taken Hendrickson over T. Higgins. If you lose Hendrickson, I would have done it. I'll go find another T. Higgins in the draft. You just have to somehow replace these guys. He's good, but he's not Ja'Marr Chase and he's not Trey Hendrickson, I wouldn't think anyway. So, you know, if they don't replace him, Joe, then it's right back to being square one. And now all of a sudden, they're in a division that's not that bad anymore. You looked at it last year and you thought it was going to be a beast, but the Browns are awful, obviously, right? I think Pittsburgh is coming way back to the pack. They don't have a quarterback. And you got the Ravens, who are the Ravens. You're always going to have some team, but that's certainly a winnable division for them.
Right. I think personally they did the move to appease Burrow more than anything else. Burrow was lobbying for both of those guys. Chase and Higgins do have the same agent, so if you're going to sign one, potentially you sign both and just get it done. And I understand what you're saying about Hendrickson, but again, you have a player now that's a little bit disgruntled. Yes, he led the league in terms of sacks, but it didn't change the wins and losses for your ball club, right? I understand the defense was the weak link. But you see, I take the different approach. I think I could maybe plug and play some guys on the defensive side of the ball to get us maybe in the top 18, top 15 from that aspect, as opposed to just say, let's get in another T. Higgins that already has the quarterback to wide receiver relationship down with Joe Burrow, and you know he's one of his guys. I do want to ask you this, because I do believe in Cincinnati this year. I think they can start fast, especially now that both of these players are signed. But on the flip side, I mentioned Stingley for Houston. This is a team that slightly regressed. What's the big picture for Houston overall? Because they fire Bobby Slowick. They get rid of Tunsil. That was one of the mainstays of that offensive line. What is DeMeco Ryans looking at in terms of this team big picture? All defense and hoping that the offense comes around this season?
I don't know. You know, their offensive line wasn't great last year, and they got rid of their best offensive lineman, even though he may have had some issues. There's got to be something behind the scenes with that. Right. There always is with Tunsil anyway, right? So, but they got to refortify that offensive line for sure. So, it's only a couple more years left before you got C.J. Stroud, you know, aching for a new contract as well. So, what do they got? 1, maybe 2 years left before they can pay guys like they paid yesterday, you know, $30 million for a defensive back. Wow, Joe, that's the salaries are just crazy. Like you said, it's not just a quarterback.
Anymore.
It's just $30 million. I mean, you can't spread that out over. See, I'm the guy that says, all right, you know, I'm going to give a guy $20 million, and then I'm going to take that extra 10 and go get other really decent players. You know, you can build a team around decent players, especially on defense. Because I thought that was going to be the offensive team. I thought it was going to be C.J. Stroud's team. But apparently not the case.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you and I didn't have an opportunity to talk about some of the signings that already took place. I believe Justin Fields is a perfect fit for the New York Jets. I hate to say that, but I got to be honest. I think the Jets are perfect. He's teamed with his former teammate, Garrett Wilson. It's a fast track. They have younger talent there. This is the move I believe the Jets should have made a couple of years ago, is instead of opting for Aaron Rodgers that was old and never bought him into the franchise as a whole. This team does have the ability, Scott, in my opinion, now to overexceed expectations. Not a lot of people are believing in this team. I actually think the Jets this season have a better shot to be a playoff contender than they have over the past couple of seasons with Aaron Rodgers at the helm.
I couldn't disagree more. Justin Fields. I know you love Justin Fields.
I love
you know,
him.
Ben loves Justin Fields, too. He sucks. He's awful, Joe. If Pittsburgh, one of the best organizations with Mike Tomlin, one of the best head coaches right in the NFL, if they didn't want him and they worked with him, they saw him. They saw him go 4-2 as a starter. Even they said, you know what, you stink. We don't need you anymore. So all of a sudden the Jets – You went from one of the best organizations to one of the worst, and you're going to side with one of the worst organizations' thoughts on a player? I'll buy into Pittsburgh and Tomlin. They need a quarterback. They had him in their backyard, and they said, nope, we don't want you anymore. Yep. He's going to be awful with the Jets. Over-under starts before the Boo Birds come out. They'll be booing him during warm-ups when he's throwing footballs at the Meadowlands in 35-mile-an-hour winds. He can't throw indoors. He can't throw anywhere. Imagine trying to throw in the Meadowlands in November when you got 15, 20, 30-mile-an-hour winds.
I knew I was going to poke the bear with that, so that's why I brought it up. I am going all in on the New York Jets. Not a Super Bowl or AFC contender, but if they give me plus money at make the playoffs, I'm going to take it and obviously jump on their win total because I do believe it's a good fit. But let's talk quickly about the Pittsburgh Steelers because I can't believe you mentioned winning organization, Mike Tomlin. They re-signed Mason Rudolph as a backup. To not have a plan moving forward, knowing that they had two quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and Fields last year, what is this organization doing? And are they now definitely regressing and going in the wrong direction?
I don't know what they're doing. I guess they're waiting for Aaron Rodgers, right? I really thought they were going to go get Sam Darnold. And when you
but
look at how
little...
But what if
it doesn't happen, Scott? What if he says no?
Right. And what are they going to do? Go into the draft?
I don't know. That is the biggest question. When we come back, we'll break down the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also break down a little Aaron Rodgers right here on Football Full Circle. Lisi and Wetzel talking NFL. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Lisi and Wetzel talking a little NFL, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the absence now of Justin Fields that did take and sign the contract with the New York Jets. Scott, we talked about Aaron Rodgers potentially being paired with DK Metcalf and George Pickens now. What does that do to the team? If that's the plan A right now, okay, now you have a solidified quarterback, a veteran guy to potentially lead that team. But they're 25-1 to win the AFC Championship. If Aaron Rodgers, let's say, opts for the Minnesota Vikings or let's just say opts at retirement, what does that leave Pittsburgh? And does that really show that the team and the organization had a clear vision on how to attack the quarterback position for this upcoming season? You had a team that basically started, what, 10-3 with Russell Wilson? They were flying high. They fell off a cliff over the last five games of the regular season. Wilson only averaged .173 per game through the air. You lose a first-round playoff game. 25-1, is that an Aaron Rodgers number baked in?
I would think so, right? And it's got to be him, right? If they were going to bring back Russell, then he would have been signed already, right? I mean, I think the dominoes are, okay, Aaron, it's your job if you want it. We're waiting on Aaron. And then if not, then it's going to be Russell. So Russell's waiting on Aaron. You know, and this is typical Aaron Rodgers, right? He no doubt just loves all this drama. So I'm assuming that 25-1 is built in with Aaron. But I don't know how much would it really change if it was Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. You know, it's funny, Joe, if you looked at Aaron Rodgers' numbers last year with the Jets and you look at Russell Wilson's numbers 2 years ago with Denver, they're pretty similar. Touchdowns, interceptions. You know, Rodgers threw for about 800 more yards than what Russell did 2 years ago. But you're basically just going right back to the well. You know, it's a different player, but it's the same person. So maybe they think they're going to strike lightning in a bottle with him. You know, he was halfway decent, just like Russell was 2 years ago. But ultimately, you know, Rodgers lost all these games with the Jets when he failed to get the team into field goal range. He had four or five games, literally, where all you needed was a field goal to win the game or tie it at the end, and he failed. So it's kind of like, I don't think it really matters who's going to be quarterback for them. They dropped the ball. Like I said before the break, I really thought they were going to go after Sam Darnold. And when you look at what Sam Darnold got, and I'm not the biggest Sam Darnold fan, but listen, $33 million for 3 years, 2 years guaranteed. That's not bad for a quarterback. I mean, they're you know, situational players now making more, obviously, than what Sam Darnold made. So how much did Sam Darnold lose last year in the last couple of games, and how much did Russell Wilson lose in the last couple of games last year?
Well, right? I think if you're the Steelers, right, exactly what you said. The last two games, that's what everybody remembers for Sam Darnold. You had the opportunity to win the NFC North. You get blown out by Detroit. You go on the road. You face an L.A. Rams team that basically you should step up and beat, and they get kicked in the chops, right? So for them, I think when you look – and Sam Darnold did not perform well in each game. So if you're Pittsburgh, you're going to say you're going to sign that guy for $45, $48 million, $40 million, whatever it may be, when you basically got two quarterbacks on the cheap last year that got you to a playoff appearance. I think the biggest thing is that the last quarterback to take you to a playoff appearance prior to last year was Mason Rudolph that they re-signed. You're supposed to be better than that. You're supposed to elevate this team and progress from that point, and they're just stuck in neutral. And you're right about Aaron Rodgers' numbers-wise, Scotty, but it was only after the Jets were out of contention for a playoff spot that he started putting up numbers, right? You know, puts up a dynamic game against Jacksonville, the five-touchdown performance against our Miami Dolphins. I mean, the numbers seem a little bit skewed based off of that when he stepped up against better competition. Teams like the Bills or teams like the Vikings with above-average defenses, he wasn't all that consistent and all that great.
No, he was bad. He just couldn't get the job done at the beginning of the year. You're right, when all the pressure was off. You know, when he wanted to, like, think about, okay, next year, right around the corner, let me see if I can show the Jets a little something, they'll bring me back. So, I don't know. Pittsburgh got left holding a bag, Joe. You know, but it was a bag full of a bunch of rocks. I mean, what quarterback out there, you know, really was so great? You know, are they looking to make a move? Maybe they're holding out for the Atlanta Falcons to get rid of Kirk Cousins, but they just gave him $10 million. You know, he passed the deadline. I don't think they're going to move him now. Why would you do that, right? But maybe, you know, money to NFL owners is next to nothing. But
it's
nothing
hard
out there.
I know. And do they take a shot? Yes, the human turnover machine, as I like to call them. I don't know. I don't know, Scott. Oh. I just can't believe that Tomlin.
Joe Flacco?
Like,
want to bring Joe Flacco in?
I tell you what.
I would take Flacco over anybody.
I would rather go down with Joe Flacco, and this sounds crazy, than with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Because at least I know Joe Flacco for the most part. Forget Russell Wilson for a second. With Joe Flacco, I know the guy's going to be bought in. He's going to give it 110%. You know, he's an aging quarterback. If you protect him and the pocket stands up, he's got a shot to get the football to DK Metcalf and obviously Pickens. With Aaron Rodgers, it's all about Aaron. And you could see that right now, to your point. The fact that he's holding off multiple organizations because he is not sure, either you're in or you're out. You want to play or you don't. You know that basically a week after the season ends, right? If you're still not sure, you know what? Move on and let somebody else take the spot. But for Pittsburgh to just wait on this guy and not be proactive, I just don't understand. Like, I'm not waiting on Aaron Rodgers. I'm in an organization that really needs to take the next step, and I can't let a 40-year-old quarterback keep me hostage for the next 4 weeks, Scotty.
Yeah. I, out of all the quarterbacks, Joe, I think I would take Flacco, too, if you wanted to win this year. And that's the question now with Pittsburgh, right? Maybe, I know Tomlin's got this 20-year history, whatever it is, 18, 20 years of a winning record, right? But sometimes you just got to bottom out to go get that new quarterback. And you're in a division where Lamar's going to be there for a number of years. Obviously, Joey B's going to be at Cincinnati for a number of years. Browns are going to probably draft a quarterback. They're going to have their quarterback for a number of years. Maybe Pittsburgh just says, let's just bottom out this season.
We'll see. When we come back, we'll talk about some title odds in the NFC right here on Football Full Circle. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, continuing the conversation, talking title odds. We touched on the AFC and one team in particular. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will flip over to the NFC, Scotty. Obviously, Philadelphia, the front runner to win the NFC championship at 3-1, followed by Detroit at +460, San Francisco at +750. And then last year's Cinderella, the Washington Commanders, come in at a 9-1 price. They do sign a couple of offseason additions, right? They just signed Tunsil to protect Jaden Daniels. Thoughts about Washington big picture this year. Can they continue the momentum or slight regression to what we saw with C.J. Stroud in Houston this past season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural thought, right, that there will be a little regression. They won, what, their last five games, Joe, last year on the last play of the game? That's a lot of breaks going your way. Stuff like that in the NFL, that doesn't happen back-to-back years. I mean, if you just go by history, there's a long history of teams coming back to the pack, not being awful, obviously, but, you know, kind of like Houston, where no one took them too seriously entering the postseason. I figure Washington probably will make the playoffs. You go from a last place schedule, also don't forget, to a first or to a second place schedule. So now you're playing all those second place teams, you know, whereas last year you were playing all the last place teams from the year before. So that makes your schedule a little bit more difficult. So I'm thinking, you know, if they're over under, I'm guessing it's going to be around 9.5. I might go over 10-7, but I wouldn't go over, like, I don't think they're going to be 11-6 or even better than that. I think there will be some regression on that with them.
What about Daniels as a whole? I think he has the ability to elevate and be an MVP candidate, especially, you know, knowing that it's year number two in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. Knowing that, you know, you have playmakers, the emergence, and how dynamic Terry McLaurin was at the end of the regular season. If they get an above-average rushing attack, something that was a little bit inconsistent towards the end of the regular season, I like Brian Robinson, but he's not an elite running back. If they maybe get somebody in the draft and the rushing attack does take over, I mean, they have the ability to be special, and Daniels can maybe build on last year's success.
Yeah, I'd like to have gotten a true number one. Like, I don't think McLaren's a true number one. I think they got a bunch of number twos. I think Debo's a number two as well, as far as big-time wide receiver goes. But, you know, it's a pretty good core, but is there a Ty Hill? Is there a Jamar Chase? Is there, you know, a Justin Jefferson on that team? I really don't think so. So that's where they can get some help as well. But I think the NFC is going to come back too, though, Joe, this year. So it's going to open up a little bit more. Who knows what you're going to get out of J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota this year, right? You know, Detroit's lost all their coordinators, so they got to kind of regroup there a little bit. We don't know what San Francisco is doing. So, you know, no team really in the West, unless you're buying into the L.A. Rams, which I'm not. The South is still mediocre. You know, maybe you want to give credit to Tampa Bay, but you know, the NFC is there, like the top two, three, four spots in the NFC. Green Bay should be a little bit better. But you know, the top two, three spots in the NFC is there for the taking for Washington.
I agree with you. And again, you know, is it worthy of a 9-1 price? Probably not. I would say I would want double digits, anywhere 11-14 in that area, but you're not going to get that now unless they start off slow. 0-2, right. You know, 2-4 to start, and maybe, you know, in terms of that. I will say, when I look at outside of Washington, you look at the value on Green Bay at 10-1, right? You know, Jordan Love banged up much of the regular season last year, never lived up to the hype that he had in terms of year number one. But 10-1, Scott, isn't a bad number for them. You know, and then Tampa Bay, all they do is win, baby. You know, the fact, I mean, we're right. Talking about a team that has won four straight division titles and has Baker and has Evans. And, oh, by the way, you know, Chris Godwin's now re-signed and coming back. And they have an above-average rushing attack now, one of the best with Bucky Irvin. I mean, 16-1 on Baker Mayfield isn't a bad number offseason.
Yeah, those wide receivers getting a little long in the tooth, though. I will say that. But they are at least back.
Well, long in the tooth, Scott. That's an old expression.
The 70s.
Yeah, long in the tooth. God.
So, and it's still Baker Mayfield, right? Ultimately, he is what he is. He's
not,
good enough
to get the first
second
round.
No, not buying into Baker. No, no. He'll probably in that division again. You're right, but is he really, you know, it really shows the respect they have for the Philadelphia Eagles, those numbers.
It is, and we'll get into this conversation coming back. Quarterback talk on the horizon, football full circle, coming right back. Lisi and Wetzel, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. Scott and I left off talking about Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, and Scott said, it's Baker Mayfield. So you piqued my curiosity, Scott. Forget Jalen Hurts for a second in Philadelphia. They're deserving, in my opinion, of obviously the 3-1 price and to be the best team and the team to beat in terms of Super Bowl odds. But if you're going to bash Baker Mayfield, right, can't we say the same for Jared Goff? I mean, the journeyman that everybody sold until he went to Detroit, resurrected his career with Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson. I mean, Baker Mayfield has won football games, has won playoff games, has more quality playoff wins, you can argue, than Kirk Cousins over the past 6 or 7 seasons. So if we're going to bash Baker Mayfield, we have to take a look at Detroit and some of the other teams, like obviously Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, that haven't ever gotten it done in a big spot.
Yeah, I mean, there is a level of mediocrity, right? And he probably is at the top of that level. He's probably better than all those quarterbacks that you mentioned. Goff, you could have the debate with, but, you know, put the Baker on Detroit, he'd probably have the similar success. I'll grant you that. But is he going to win a Super Bowl? I don't think, you know, is Dak Prescott going to win a Super Bowl? Is Kirk Cousins ever going to win a Super Bowl? I mean, the answer has been no. You're right, but at least he's won, you know. But, you know, 2 years ago, he's in a spot to win the game against Detroit, you know, with the football, 2 minutes left, and he can't get the job done. So I think that's his limit. You know, you're going to live in purgatory. It's as simple as that. Right. I think that's why Seattle got rid of Geno Smith. Now, Geno's not quite at that level, but I think they realize we're just going to live in purgatory. We're going to be 9-7 or 10-7, you know, 9-8. We'll make the first round of the playoffs, and then we'll lose. So we got to do something different here.
But that's the question when you break down great and elite quarterbacks to just good. And we could say that about Lamar Jackson as well. Until Lamar goes to the Super Bowl, he's a great regular season quarterback, and he's, you know, maybe he could get you one playoff win. When the chips are in the middle of the table, would you want Pat Mahomes? Would you want Jalen Hurts? Would you want somebody else to lead your offense? And you could throw Josh Allen in there as well. As great as he played throughout the regular season, they still didn't win an AFC championship. And that's how you really gauge elite quarterbacks. It's by the number of AFC and NFC championships, and it's by the number of Super Bowl appearances and championships that you bring home. And until you do that, you're just a very good quarterback. And we can make that argument about everybody in the NFC. You can make that about Brock Purdy. Even though in terms of his young career, he's played in a Super Bowl, he hasn't won one, right? And was it more the team success or Brock Purdy just managing the bus throughout the, you know, the playoffs? I mean, we can make that argument. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't know if it's obviously this year because of how dominant the Philadelphia defense is, but I think over the next 3 to 5 seasons, Jaden Daniels has that type of upside. Let me ask you this, though. L.A., Matt Stafford, they bring him back. He's won a Super Bowl. He's old. He's not getting any younger. From what you saw last year, does L.A. have an opportunity to be a dark horse contender in the NFC?
Dark horse, yeah, but I think a whole lot of people are putting too much emphasis on that game they had against Philadelphia in the postseason, where they had the ball, you know, at first down inside the 20-yard line with a chance to win the game, final moments. They didn't get the job done. But I think people are saying, all right, you know, they played them the toughest out of all the teams, Green Bay or the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they were the team, so they're that close. I don't think they're really that close. I really don't. I mean, they're in a division that's, you know, could be awful, you know, depending on what San Francisco does. So I don't doubt they get into the playoffs. I would have brought them back too, Joe. I didn't understand the Rams telling Stafford that go shop yourself around. That was kind of weird. Sense. It's not like he was the last year of his contract. Why would you do that? I mean, you knew there were going to be teams that were looking for quarterbacks that would show some interest in him. I'm not sure what was all, you know, what that was all about, but you know, I don't think they're at a Super Bowl level at this point. No.
10-1 though. You think do you believe they're worthy to be ahead of Green Bay and Tampa Bay for that matter? With Stafford based off last year?
Green Bay, yes, because Green Bay more than likely is going to finish as a wild card team behind Detroit. Tampa Bay figures to be a division winner. Rams, I think, figure to be a division winner. So I could see them being ahead of Green Bay, even though Green Bay might be the better team. But at 10-1, yeah, you know, listen, chances are they're going to be pretty good to make the playoffs. So, and same thing with Tampa Bay, you know, you can start hedging if you want. You know, you grab all these teams now at 10-1, 12-1, 15-1. Again, this is to win the NFC, right? Not the Super Bowl. So you only got to win a couple of games before you can really start to hedge a little bit. So I would take a flyer on both those teams at over 10-1 or 10-1 or higher.
I'll tell you one team I'm not buying into, and I know they got their coach in terms of Ben Johnson, but 17-1 for the Chicago Bears, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying into Caleb Williams' big picture. I know they shored up the offensive line in terms of what they were able to do in the free agent market, Tooney and all those signings. But to me, Scott, they have to then beat Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota at least 4 games for them to get to the playoffs. I just don't think they could do it. I think all those teams are stronger. And you could make the argument, well, J.J. McCarthy hasn't taken a snap. I would still take a shot that Justin Jefferson and that team could will themselves to more victories than the Chicago Bears. And Ben Johnson better be careful because he's called out a number of teams, including Green Bay. Teams don't forget that. Ben Johnson hasn't coached a game in the NFL as a head coach. It's a much different animal when you're taking on full responsibility as opposed to just calling plays from an offensive perspective. And I actually think Matt LaFleur is a much better head coach than critics give him credit for. I'm sorry. I just don't see Chicago 17-1. I understand the number, but I'm selling it this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, you got to fast forward to the postseason. Are they going to win the division? Not with Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit. They're probably not. No matter how good Chicago is better this upcoming season, I don't think they're good enough to win that division. So now they're going to be playing on the road. They're going to have to get to the Super Bowl, you know, winning, what, three road games. That's really tough to do. And, you know, and those road games could be at Philadelphia. They could be at Detroit. Yep. They could be, you know, against Washington. I mean, that's... When you put it into perspective like that, it's like, no, I'm not buying in either. Yeah, I always thought he was a little, you know, overrated, Joe. I mean, he was with our Dolphins. He didn't do anything. He wasn't this genius when he was with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you know, he's had one basically regime, you know, and give all those guys credit for turning Detroit around. I mean, that franchise was deader than dead. But it's only been one situation where he went from bottom to top. That's it. You know, I mean, a lot of guys get fortunate luck like that. We've seen college coaches, you know, get better jobs because of one recruiting class. They were able to recruit one quarterback who was great. Before I buy into a guy, let me see him turn things around at a couple of different programs. Then I'll buy into the Ben Johnson stuff.
I agree with you. Now, you know what number is intriguing to me is Arizona at 20-1. And the reason why I say that is they have Trey McBride. They have those playmakers. Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Gannon did a good job, not a great job, not a bad job. He was right in the middle. There were games that they should have won, like Carolina. They couldn't pick up that victory on the road. But I feel like he's building a foundation here. 20-1 isn't a bad number when we talk about these dark horses to potentially surprise. And you're not starting with a rookie. This is a third-year head coach with a veteran quarterback and playmakers at every level. This team can't compete in the West.
Yeah, it's still Kyler Murray.
They I know.
Stink. I know, so but much it's money worth on the price, food.
Scotty. But it's worth the price, isn't it?
You want a flyer? I'll give you a goofy flyer. You want a goofy flyer? I'll take the Carolina Panthers.
Watching I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Watching him play the last 4 or 5 weeks, Joe, I don't know how he did it because, man, he was just god-awful last year and then the first part of last season. He actually turned that team around. He was a pretty good quarterback last 4 or 5 games.
He understood Dave Canales' system. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Carolina. Some other teams coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. We left off talking about the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. Price to win the NFC Championship, Scotty, 60-1. And I agree with you. You know, Bryce Young's emergence down the stretch where he went toe-to-toe with teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the defending Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with both of those teams. They both covered both of those matchups as a 10.5 and a 13.5 point underdog against both the Chiefs and Eagles. Game went right down to the final possession. They couldn't pull it out. But the sky's the limit for Bryce Young. I mean, you know, the ability to step out of the lineup, the ability to then see what he was doing wrong, what he was doing right, get more acclimated and break down some game film, sit down with the offensive staff, really proved to be a testament to what and a benefit to him. In terms of the numbers that he put up, he looked like a completely different quarterback, and it's like the game started to slow down from him. And I agree with you. You know, year number three now, there's no doubt that Bryce Young could potentially lead this team in the NFC South to an 8 or 9-win season and make a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, even the losses that you pointed out, they were competitive. They got blown out in 1 or 2 games, but they were clearly not the same team they were at the beginning of the year, and him in particular. I don't know what happened, Joe. You mentioned some things there. What all of a sudden turns the light bulb on? I don't know. But, you know, he was a pretty good quarterback. So you look for different things, right? When you look for flyers, one, is the team going to be a little bit better? And clearly they showed they were better, you know, this past season at the end of the year. So you figure that's going to continue. They get a last place schedule, kind of like what Washington had last year and Houston had the year before that. So now you got a couple of easier games that, you know, you may be better, but hopefully the other teams aren't. So you can win those. And they're in a division that's, you know, let's face it, Tampa's pretty good. I think we do underappreciate, you know, how good the Bucs are. But still, they're in a division where they're going to be competitive against every game. You know, whether it's home or away, Atlanta, New Orleans, or Tampa Bay, they're not going to go into those games saying, all right, this is an automatic loss. They can win all those games. Then you throw on the last place schedule. So, you know, realistically, could they win the NFC? Probably not. But if you want a little flyer, you know, you want to have a Washington Redskin or Commanders team, you know, from last year for this upcoming season, to me, I think they would be the best choice.
Yeah, I agree with you. For the numbers, 60-1, you're not going to get a better shot at a team with a veteran quarterback, second-year head coach. The main questions are already answered. What can you pick up in terms of the upcoming draft to get plug-and-play players to potentially get you over your season win total and challenge for a wild card? Because there's no doubt, right? If you're Carolina, just make the playoffs, right? If you could do that, that's huge for the organization to get back on the winning track, to develop Bryce Young to potentially an all-pro level, and then now to get the fan base re-involved and re-engaged with the organization. That winning changes everything. So I agree with you. They have Chuba Hubbard. They have Thielen there, the veteran wide receiver. Leggett was a little bit hot and cold, cost them the victory against Philadelphia with the drop in the end zone. But if he can develop as well, now you have a core group of talent that you could say, okay, we can compete with any team within the division. Now we have to find players that can put us over the top, whether that be free agency, whether that be the draft, and we'll see what they do. I mean, I agree with you. I would buy into Arizona as that dark horse because of the veteran team and because of Gannon, but I would take a shot on Carolina as well for 60-1. If Bryce Young could start the season the way he ended, now, if you start 5-2 or let's say 6-4, that number is not going to be there anymore.
Oh, no, that'll be gone. That'll be completely gone. Again, especially in that division where they figure at 6-4, you're probably going to be batting for first place versus, you know, batting for a wild card spot. So I would even say, even if they didn't make the wild card, Joe, just show progress with Bryce Young. You know, he was so bad 2 years ago. You know, coaches getting fired, GMs getting fired that drafted him, right? I mean, to be where we are right now a year later is like, wow. And to have him even go 9-8, 8-9, heck, even 7-10, you know, just continue to say, okay, he's our quarterback. We're not going to have to go into next year's draft and draft a quarterback. We have the guy. That, to me, would be progress enough, and everything else is gravy with them.
I'll tell you this right now. Two teams I'm going to sell on top of Chicago just because I don't believe in them. And I know a lot of people, we do a number of these shows all the time, right? We talk to a lot of smart people and people that are willing to pull the trigger. You know that people are looking at the bounce back for the Dallas Cowboys and are looking at Atlanta because of the core of young talent that they have. And at these prices for Atlanta at 24-1 to win the NFC and Dallas at 26-1, I'm telling you this right now, Scotty, I'm selling them because I think after the first month or two of the regular season, those numbers will be much higher. You can get better odds. I'm sold on Dallas, and I'm not believing on Raheem Morris. I think he's a terrible head coach. He's a better coordinator than he is a head coach. I just think it's an organization in complete disarray.
Yeah, that Falcon team will start there. It's just a weird team. I mean, they've had so many expectations the last 2-3 years with the people they brought in and who they drafted and this and that. And it just, for whatever reason, their offense just hasn't clicked. It's amazing. Root for Raheem. He's a Hofstra guy. You know, he was there when I was doing play-by-play many moons ago. So, and for all intents and purposes, right, he got the job over Bill Belichick. So think about that for a second, the pressure he's under. But I agree, just, you know, and I like Penix Jr. I do like him. I did like him in college. Dallas, kind of the same thing, but I'm rooting for Dallas, too. Like, I'm rooting for Raheem. But, you know, I want to see Schottenheimer do well. I want to see Dallas do well.
Who are you?
Just because he's got, he's been criticized so much. The poor guy never hurt a soul. And everyone making him out to be a boob. I mean, he's been a lifelong NFL guy. Well, why?
Because of his dad, Marty Schottenheimer. He was born on third base, Scotty. He was born on third base.
Listen, but at least he's paid his dues. He's been in the. He's not 25. He's not Zach Taylor. I mean, he's been in the NFL his entire life. You know, did he do anything worse than what the previous guy did? The Boise State quarterback, Kellen Moore? No, neither one could win. So
Scotty's got the GoFundMe page. The Dallas Cowboys will come back and wrap it up right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
There you go, and over. Goes fast for Scotty and I when we work and talk offseason NFL and college football. I just read this report, Scotty. Jackson Dart potentially is in play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the upcoming draft. We'll see how it plays out over the next month. Let's see. They screwed up the Kenny Pickett situation a couple of years ago. So, you know, for them to screw that up and be in complete purgatory right now, entering 25, you can't be happy for the Pittsburgh Steelers at the quarterback position. But I gave you in the break. I gave you an option. We're going to go through some passing props. Prop markets are up for multiple teams, Scott, and players. So I'll give you a prop market for the passing, okay? To throw for 30-plus touchdown passes this year, okay? Lamar Jackson, the front runner at even money at plus 100. Mahomes at plus 120. He's got Xavier Worthy with two big play touchdowns in the Super Bowl loss. Josh Allen, now with the emergence of potentially Shakir and Josh Palmer in that offense, plus 135. Sam Darnold. As you know, that's what the New York fans used to call him, Darno, when he used to start for the New York Jets. Plus 490. And Jalen Hurts at 5-1. Anybody tickle your fancy out of that group?
Well, I go Hurts at 5-1, right? I mean, I know like they love him, and you know, and who knows, you know, what they do with the push tush if they really change that rule. Maybe a couple of short little 1 yard touchdown passes for him. He's got the weapons, clearly, right? I mean, the problem is his defense is so good that, you know, more times than not, he doesn't have to put 30 points on the board. But still, it hurts at 5-1. Just, you know, if for no other reason, it's 5-1 is pretty darn good. Josh Allen, I'd probably go Josh Allen. You know, I think he's going to be in some offensive wars. I think Kansas City's going to come out with a vengeance too. I would go Mahomes. You know, this is kind of not that they had a lousy year last year, but this will be a big bounce back year for him. Not relying on the defense so much. Offenses or the teams that they're playing are going to be putting some points on the board. Mahomes at 30-1, or at 30, if at even money, whatever it is, definitely.
Plus 130. It's plus 130, so it's not a bad number. That. All right, so let's go to the yardage. Hurts, 3,200.5. Josh Allen, 3,775.5. Lamar Jackson, 3,450.5. Which one are you taking? I'll give you Mahomes, too, since Mahomes, 4,000.5. Which one?
Give me Mahomes at 4,000, and I'll take Hurts too. He's not getting old. You know, clearly he's not getting old. But you know, we've seen quarterbacks, Joe, run less and less as they get older and older. And now he's won a Super Bowl, so he doesn't have that burning desire of just I'm going to do whatever it takes. Right, I'm just going to throw the ball out of bounds. So I think he throws a little bit more down the field versus running. And like I said, I do believe Mahomes and company are going to have a big bounce back here throwing the ball.
All right. Touchdown passes for the big three. Josh Allen, 27.5. Lamar Jackson, 28.5. Pat Mahomes, 27.5, Scotty. Seems like easy money. Seems like easy. Yeah. Slim pickings. Come on.
Oh, that is amazing. His numbers have come way down, right? 27.5 in 17 games. That's not even it's basically a touchdown and a half a game. Used to get that, 27 touchdowns in the first week of the season, the first month of the season. I'll go under Lamar. I think Lamar has peaked. That's it. Done with Lamar. No more. I don't care. You know, all the announcers in the world can tell us how great he is in a regular season. The guy never gets it done in the postseason. So I'm done with Lamar. I'll go under him.
Sell. How about this? Because you brought up Darnold. What do you think Sam Darnold's touchdown prop is this year?
25?
20 and a half, Scotty.
Oof. Not even that much. Wow.
Now he's got JSN and nobody else. No DK.
That's a touchdown a game, though, Joe, right? I mean, 17 games, that's basically a touchdown a game.
And you're getting, look at this, Scotty. I'm even, here's a tickler I'm giving you. Under, right? Minus with the juice, minus 122. You want to take to the over? Only minus 108. Oh, look at that.
He's getting 21. He'll be blown out every game. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see you tomorrow on Football Full Circle. For Danny Ohlers, Scott Wetzel, I'm Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.